Good morning. And welcome. And it is a warm welcome here in Railway Street today. It is lovely to see you all. In many cases, it's welcome back. And in other cases, it's welcome for the first time to our building today. This is our first BB enrollment service since 2019, folks, because of something that happened in between that we'll not mention or talk about today. And looking back, I discovered this is my first enrollment since 2018, so it's even longer for myself. But it's great to welcome the boys from our company and their officers and leaders, to welcome all our parents and grandparents and sisters and friends. It's really great to see the building so well filled today. Could I ask, if this is your first time in our building, just to raise your hand if this is the first time you've been with us on a Sunday morning. Just put, that's grown-ups as well, yeah. Lovely, then. Folks, we're delighted to have you here today, and trust you've already felt the warmth of that welcome. I just have some new announcements I need to go through, folks, before we kick off. Bear with me, but hopefully some of these will be relevant to all of us here this morning. There is refreshments in our main hall following the service, folks. So after the boys have paraded round, they're going to be in the main hall, which is over in the corner of our car park, the large white building in the corner. Their refreshments are going to be served there. However, I am happy to say that our new build is finally under our control. It was handed over to the congregation midway through this week. There is still some bits of work to be done here and there, and this work will see the roof above the minor hall kitchen being repaired. So that will lead to some further disruption in the car park again, folks, this week. Do bear with us there. And we're continuing work just on equipping the new building, becoming familiar with its workings. We hope to open this as soon as possible for BB parents and indeed GB parents on a Thursday evening. And it is our hope after half term that welcome area will be available from 6:30 on Tuesday evenings and available from 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings for GB parents, if you'd like to remain here rather than going home, coming back again. For our own Railway Street folks, please note in the announcements, Wednesday the 9th of November, that's going to be a tasting and training time at 7:30 p.m. That's for all those who have volunteered to help with the new Tain Coffee Rota and the BB and GB parents. And that evening, the 9th of November, will provide training on how to use the new equipment in the coffee dock and an opportunity to taste and choose the coffee that we're going to use. I know some of you have strong vested interests in that, folks, so we'll expect a good turnout. And then the official opening is going to be on Friday, the 18th of November at 7:30. However, following the service today, folks, you are very welcome to come through this way and to have a tour around both downstairs and upstairs. We know many of our own members haven't had the chance to see that yet, but we also want to invite BB parents just to see those new facilities that are available. So you can look around those anytime after the service this morning. We have an evening service at 6:30 p.m. to tonight. You're all warmly invited to that. We're continuing our series in 1 Timothy. Stephen Johnson will be preaching tonight. I'm involved with a presbytery service in Sloane Street this evening. Women, please note that meeting on Monday evening at 8 p.m. in the main hall with Steve and Rosie Kennedy. Steve Kennedy grew up in this congregation. Steve and Rosie are now ministering in Cluj in Romania. They're home at the minute. They'll give an update on that work. Ladies of all ages, welcome Monday at 8. Then Thursday afternoon, please note that time, 2:30, again in the main hall. Our 422 group are meeting. That's their AGM, celebratory goodies, and a tour of the new link. All welcome at that. We had a great night last night for young folks in our hall. Great to hear really positive reports on that. And our next special event for young ones is this Friday, not Saturday as printed, Friday as was up on the screen. And that is a light party that we're having here in our halls from 6 to 7:30 p.m. That's for all in ages 6 to 11. You're invited to come along, join us for an evening of games and craft, a short Bible talk. No need to dress up, but you might like to wear something sparkly or bright I think invitations went out to BB&GB as well as to Brownlee, and you're asked then to just send a message to Hannah, our youth worker here, to let us know if your children are coming. Finally, folks, items for the November bulletin. The November bulletin is being compiled this week, so anybody in Railway Street, if you have items for that bulletin, please have those into the office by Tuesday of this week. Right. Daniel McGuckin, come on up. Daniel's going to lead us in prayer as we begin our service. Come on, Daniel.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a wonderful time at BB this year. The highlights of BB were the Colin Glen driving range and the Bowl Alley. While we were in the hall, there were a lot of fun moments, but here are the best. A biker came and jumped over some of the boys on his bike, and when we got to do a sports pose for a competition. While we were having fun, we still remembered the motto of the BB, the advancement of Christ's kingdom among boys. We done this by praying to God and learning about God. We thank God for the Boys' Brigade, as it is an important outreach to spread the word of God to boys in the local Lisburn area. Amen.
Thank you very much, but it suddenly dawned on me as I was watching that. This is like a Newton Breed of Baptist takeover of Railway Street this morning, and I'm really pleased to get more Presbyterians up to the front now to balance things up. Folks, we're going to join together. Praise God again. This is a song that's still fairly new to us in Railway Street. Been learning in recent weeks. Maybe you know it from somewhere else, or maybe you'll learn it today as well. But God, I look to you. We're going to stand and sing.
Okay, before David and Maddie and Paul come back up, we've got to take some care of business because, as I said, this is our first BB enrollment since 2019, which, I don't know, means we haven't been running maybe legally for a couple of years now, but neither was anybody else either. So boys, certainly in the junior section, and Anger Boys, we were practicing this on Tuesday night, so hopefully you remember, but let me say, first of all, that in addition to being Minister of Railway Street, one of my other tasks is I am chaplain to the 1st Lisburn Boys Brigade Company, and it's a real honour and a privilege to be their chaplain. Let me remind you of what the BB is about and what it stands for. The Lord Jesus Christ has given to the church the task of going into all the world to tell people about him. The Boys Brigade exists to help the church in that work. The object of the Boys Brigade is the advancement of Christ's kingdom among boys and the promotion of habits of obedience, reverence, discipline, self-respect, and all that tends towards being a true Christian man. And I'm delighted to say that in 1st Lisburn, we are absolutely dedicated to that purpose of the BB. And it was so heartening in recent days to see the Northern Ireland District reaffirm overwhelmingly that the advancement of Christ's kingdom is the primary reason that the Boys Brigade exists. Our BB have joined us this morning for their annual service of dedication and enrollment. They are part of the life of Railway Street Congregation. And we, the members of this congregation, are asked to support the work being done by them, to pray for the boys, their officers and leaders, that they will be sure and steadfast in their endeavors. Could I ask our Captain David to come forward? David, realizing the call of God and the responsibilities involved in your leadership as captain, do you renew your undertaking to serve God in your company, desiring the advancement of Christ's kingdom among the young people under your care, and seeking to promote the aim for which your organization stands?
I do.
And I know you mean that with all your heart, David. I now enroll you as captain of this company and promise on behalf of the congregation to support you by our prayers and cooperation, praying that God may grant you grace to be faithful to your trust and crown your work with success.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Could I ask all our officers and leaders please to stand just where you are in the pews? Realizing the call of God and the responsibility involved in your leadership, do you renew your undertaking to serve God in your company, desiring the advancement of Christ's kingdom among the young people under your care, and seeking to promote the aim for which your organization stands? I enroll you as officers and leaders of this company, praying that God may grant you grace to be faithful to your charge and crown your work with success. Please be seated. Now, could I ask all the anchor boys to stand? Could I ask the juniors to stand? And could I ask the company section, please, to stand? Oh, some of the boys, oh, do I have to stand? Yes, you do. A question for all of you. Boys desiring to be enrolled as members of our boys' brigade, do you promise with God's help to obey the rules of your company, to do your best, to be enthusiastic in the activities, and to set a good example to your friends and others?
I do.
I didn't hear anybody pass the anchor, boys. You can all be quiet. Juniors, company section?
I do.
Much better. You're now enrolled as members of the boys' brigade. May Jesus Christ, the captain of your salvation, give you strength to be faithful to your duty, loyal to your friends, strong in temptation, and to be his faithful servants always. Please be seated. Let's pray together for a moment. Bless, O Lord, the boys' brigade, and be pleased to give it greater power to advance your kingdom throughout this world. Continue to use it to help boys discover the reality of your love in Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray for our captain that you would guide and direct him as he leads the company and as he seeks to fulfill the promise he has made to you. Help us to encourage him in his service for you. We pray for all our officers and leaders that they would be a great help and support to their captain and that they would be good and fitting role models for the boys under their care, always seeking to point them to Jesus through their attitude, words, and actions. Help them to learn as they teach and to grow as they enable others to grow in the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ, and grant that through their leadership and service, you would bless all the boys, our anchor boys, our juniors, and company section, that we would see the next generation of young men being raised up who know and who serve Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Talk to Paul again. This is the second half of the interview. And Paul, we could have asked a number of people to be here today. I have been an Ulster fan and an Ireland fan for many years, and have watched you play and always admired you on the rugby pitch. But I've been at a lot of events over different years, and I realise that you're a follower of Jesus and you're a Christian. And how you conduct your life and how you reflect Christ in all that you do was something that always challenged and inspired me. And I always admired you for that. So can you tell us a little bit about how you came to faith and what it means to be a follower of Jesus?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was brought up going along the church. And as I said, I was going along to the BB, the Anchor Boys, when I was younger. We moved churches when we moved house when I was about 8. And was still going along to church events and activities and all the youth things that were on. And I remember when I was probably about 10 or 11 years old, it was just explained very briefly at a youth club, just that there's sin in our lives, there's wrong things that we have done, wrong things that we have said, wrong ways we have acted, and that creates a separation between us and God. And it was very simple. I was only young at the time, but it was explained that this creates a little gap between us and God, and God wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants to fill that gap, and he sent his son Jesus to earth, who lived a perfect life, something which nobody in here has done and nobody in here will ever do. But he lived a perfect life, and then he died on a cross to take our place on the cross for the sins that were committed, because the Bible's really clear that God sees sin as being a very bad thing that separates it from him, and he can't have sin, but he sent Jesus to bridge that gap between sin and him. So I was very young when I prayed that, and I suppose when I went along to secondary school and things, I probably found it a bit tricky at times, because I think there's a lot of pressure on that you want to fit in with certain people, and you want to fit in when you're with certain groups, and I probably found it quite hard at times when I was with the rugby group. I wanted to be like them. When I was with the church group, I wanted to be like them, and I was a little bit inconsistent probably at times throughout my time in school. And I remember one of my good friends, a guy called Mark, he phoned me in the summer of going into fourth form, going into year 11, and he phoned me and said that he became a Christian that summer. And I thought this was great. I said to him, I was like, oh great, I'm a Christian too, you know. And but it probably didn't go much beyond that for me at the time, whereas as I said, I was probably not serious enough about being a Christian, and even though I still was going along to the church and the youth groups and things, I probably was struggling to put God at number one in my life at that time.
Paul, the school rugby culture can be a very tough environment to be in. As Cleo mentioned earlier, a lot of the company section are going through those difficult school years now. How did you find being involved in a difficult Methodist schoolboy rugby culture?
Yeah, I think, as I said, that takes us to where I was about 15, and then once we were getting into the senior side of rugby, I probably tried really hard to be a Christian, and I know that sounds a bit funny at times, but I probably tried quite hard in my strength, and I probably didn't pray enough or spend enough time asking God to help me. I felt like I was trying to do my bit, and as I said, I was a little bit inconsistent at times. Sometimes I'd be trying to encourage the guys from a nice Christian perspective. Other times I was behaving a bit silly, a bit like they would have been behaving. And I remember really, really clearly there was a guy on the bus who wasn't a Christian, and we were going across from after schools to go and play rugby. And I remember I must have said something that was pro-Christianity. I was trying to be, you know, say my little Christian bit. And I remember him saying to me, oh, you're back onto the Christian side of things now. And that always stuck with me, because I knew I had a bit of inconsistency in my life, but then some of my friends were seeing it. And again, I remember I had another friend from school, and I thought I'm going to bring him to a friend's house from church whenever there was an event on. And there was a load of people went back to someone's house, and my friend got back into the car. I was driving him home, and as soon as he closed the door, he said to me, you're a bit different around them than you are when you're around us. And so this was a guy who wasn't a Christian again, but was saying to me, you know, you're a wee bit different here as to how you're living. And again, very shortly after that, my mum sort of had a bit of a challenge to me as well about just what side of the fence I was going to be on. So that sort of was coming through to the end of my school days. And I remember thinking, when you leave school seems like it's the most important thing, and it's the be-all and the end-all, but then you realise when you're leaving school that your world opens up massively as you go to university or get a job or an apprenticeship and different things. And I remember I really prayed at that stage that I wanted to have a bit more consistency in my life when I was leaving school, and I wanted to put God number one all the time, not here and there. That doesn't mean I got it right all the time, it doesn't mean I was perfect, but from when I was leaving school, I was very much my focus was, and the very first person I met in the changing rooms in Jordanstown for our first day of our sports class when I was doing sport at university was another Christian guy who was in my class and who knew my best friend from school, that guy who had become a Christian those number of years ago. He had been away on a mission team with him, so I've no doubt that was God putting someone in my life at just the right moment that I needed to have alongside me and to keep me accountable for that first year in uni.
Did you have many opportunities to share your faith in Methody, and then when you broke into the Ulster squad?
Yeah, I did share my faith at times in school, of course. But as I say, I probably was a wee bit inconsistent. I felt then once I was going into the Ulster squad, again, I know people will often say the phrase, you know, you've got to nail your colours to the mast early on, or you've got to say early on who you are, what you believe. And I felt that was something which I was really going to have to do when I went into the Ulster squad, was I was going to have to say from the outset I'm a Christian, and it doesn't mean that I'm completely different to everybody, but it means that there are certain things that will set me apart, that I won't be getting involved in certain things or speaking a certain way. and trying to put God number one in my life. And yes, at times there was definitely great opportunities to share with people. A number of years back, we had a bit of a Bible study going in the squad for a number of years, and you know, that was something which was great. We had some guys that were over from South Africa that were Christians that got involved. We had local guys that got involved and went along to that. And it wasn't that we were trying to be separate to everybody else, but we were trying to meet together to encourage one another so that then we could hopefully have a good impact in the squad, but also whenever we were asked to maybe do other events or go to youth groups and things like that as well.
And life moves on and the rugby career comes to an end, and now you're a husband and a dad to Eleanor, Luke and Zoe, and you have a new career at Antrim Grammar teaching sport and teaching rugby. So what does it look like being a Christian like today in your house and in your workplace and in your church?
Yeah, I think the big thing is we all have an identity of some sort. And we're all quite focused at times on where our identity is. And as Christians, if we are a Christian, our identity should be in Christ. That should be our number one. And it shouldn't be in our sport, number one. It shouldn't be whether you're playing rugby, cricket, golf, football, whatever. It shouldn't be in your business or your workplace. It shouldn't be in your schoolwork and your academics, even though those are really, really important, don't get me wrong. But that's not where your identity should be found. So for me, if my identity had solely been in being a rugby player, then when I finished, would that mean that my identity was lost as a 33-year-old? You know, and that shouldn't be the case as a Christian. So my identity's different now, but I'm still a Christian, number one, and instead of being a rugby player underneath, I'm now a PE teacher, and I love it. I love getting to do sport with younger ones and trying to encourage them. And, like, because I know for me, it was PE teachers that I had that made a big impact in my life and had a big impact in my sport. So I want to be able to try and create that atmosphere. It also means that, you know, I do try to get in that I'm a Christian as well when I get the opportunity to. If anyone asks you, you know, why do you believe something or why do you behave a certain way? Well, whether you be with other staff or pupils, you know, you should be able to have that conversation. And that's something which I don't try to go actively looking and force on people. But if I get the opportunity, then it's great to be able to share with people as to why you're a Christian, why you hope to try and do things a certain way, or why you try to avoid doing things a certain way, and that your goal should be to try and please God.
Finally, Paul, are there any Bible verses or stories that have had an impact in your life?
Yeah, I think for me, Colossians 3:23 was always one that was always big in my head. I think when you're playing sport, you're always wanting affirmation. You know, and it's lovely, like I know we joke about like Maddie being a great cricketer, but I'm sure, Maddie, you love it if I say you're a great cricketer, it makes you feel good. The same for me when I was playing rugby, you know, if someone gave me a pat on the back and said, you know, you played really well there today, that was affirmation, that made you feel good. But Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though for the Lord, not for men, because it shouldn't matter how you play on a weekend in terms of your standing or your relationship with God. God doesn't really care whether you have a great game or a bad game, but he cares about your character within it, your integrity within it, how you conducted yourself when you played. And I think for me, that was one thing that always stuck by me, because as I say, there was times I remember coming off the pitch one time thinking I'd had quite a good game, and I remember getting a tweet from someone sort of basically telling me the opposite. And I remember thinking, like, but I know I actually did my job really well, so it doesn't matter what someone else messages you and says, but at the same time, it shouldn't be that if everyone gives you a pat on the back that you think that you're great either. So I think that was one thing that always stuck with me, was it wasn't about the praise of man or woman, it was the praise of God and trying to live a life that was honourable for him. So that's why that verse always really stuck with me, that was who I was trying to please when I played.
And final question. So those of you who were observant and noticed the video when it was showing there, you scored a try in the corner and Jim Neely described you as a cheeky little rascal. So what three words would describe Paul Marshall? Or would you endorse those, or would you want to choose another three?
Well, little's probably going to be in there somewhere. Cheeky, I would change cheeky to cheerful maybe, okay. And rascal to... We'll leave rascal in. I call kids in school rascals now as well if they're messing about, or I call my own kids rascals. So I think it's probably one that's always going to go with me.
Very good. Could we give Paul a massive round of applause? And thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it.
Fantastic.
Well, Paul mentioned a favourite verse there. It was from Colossians 3. We're going to have our Bible reading now from Colossians 4. Going to invite Harry Merlin to come up. He's going to read for us. And after that, then we're going to invite Daniel Nelson, one of our officers. And since many of you were last here, Daniel has been elected as one of our elders here in Railway Street. Daniel's going to share a short message. Yeah, Daniel? Shortish. Yeah. Okay. Harry.
Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let our conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Good morning. You're all very welcome to Railway Street this morning, especially if you're a visitor. It's absolutely fantastic to have you here. It's great to see so many BB boys to be back in the enrolment, first time in 3 years. And if you don't go to a church regularly, you're more than welcome to come back next week. We meet at the same time, 10:30 each week, and we'd absolutely love to have you. Sport is great. I love sport. And Paul was just sharing there about how he played rugby for many years. Do any of you play any sport? Yeah. Football. Hockey, good man. Anyone else? Ollie at the back? Rugby. I know there's a few golfers, there's a few badminton players in there. There are loads of sports, and it's actually estimated there are over 8,000 sports played across the world. That's a massive number. And research estimates about 86% of 11 to 16 year olds in the UK take part in at least one sports session a week. So sport's very popular to play. It's also incredibly popular to watch, whether that's on TV or actually at a match. There was 27 million people last year watched a live Premier League match. And I was going to ask you, do you support a Premier League team? Right answers only. But I've already seen the majority of people support Man United, which is the correct answer. So yous are doing well. BB is educating you well. So sport's incredibly popular. It's great for your physical health, your mental health. It's great for making friends, and it's great for unwinding after a long day at school or at work. But is there more to it than that? The sport that I play is hockey, and I play for a team called Lisnagarvey Hockey Club, who are based in Hillsborough, just down the road. And last year, alongside my two brothers, Matthew and Ben, we won a few trophies. Can anyone guess how many trophies we won?
Six.
Six, close, one less. We won five trophies, which is absolutely fantastic. And there's a photo of the three of us with the Champions Trophy. We won that at Banbridge, who are our main rivals. We won it at their ground against them, and it was absolutely fantastic. I then, as Paul mentioned, played for the greatest sport team that has ever been assembled, the mighty Derriacky Thirds. My friend Johnny and I hadn't played cricket since school, so for about 8 years. And Gary Halliday, whose son, Matty, was just up there interviewing Paul, scouted us out, gave us big money contracts. And we ended up actually winning both the league and the cup with Derriacky. And that's us after winning the cup down at Dundrum. The best day of cricket you could ever have. Lovely. I probably had the best sporting year in my life. I don't think I could have a better year. And it was great to win all those trophies. The feeling was fantastic. And it was a great reward for a lot of hard work that was put in. But do you know what? After winning a trophy, I still had to go back to work the next day. Life went on. And we've now started another season where we have to start again and try to win those trophies again. The win was great, but the happiness and the great feelings were short-lived. There is something, or rather, someone who provides a trophy or a prize that lasts forever. It says in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. You see, all those trophies and medals will rust. They will fade away. But as Christians, we have this incredible privilege of knowing Jesus, God's own Son, who came down from heaven into this broken and sinful world. He died on a cross, took all of our sin and guilt upon himself. He rose again and will one day return to lead us into eternal life with him. I love sport and it is great, but Jesus is better than any sporting moment I can ever have. And the joy and prize that he provides is eternal life, and that will never fade away. What a prize that is. So we're going to just look at a bit more detail at the verses that Harry read out. So we're looking at Colossians 4, chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. There's Bibles in front of you. If you want to open them up, you can look at them. And we're going to look at three areas very quickly. So pray, play, and say. Firstly, who wrote this? This is written by a guy called Paul. He used to be called Saul, going around trying to get Christians beat up and killed. Jesus spoke to him, became Paul, became a Christian, and he wrote a lot of the books in the New Testament. And he's currently actually writing this from jail. He's in jail for being a Christian. And yet the amazing thing is he writes with such joy and encouragement despite this. And we can see Paul in this passage teaching on a few areas that I think that can be applied to sport. So firstly, pray. In verse 2 it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. What actually is prayer and why do we do it? On a simple level, prayer is having a conversation with God. I think people often think it's just asking God for a load of things and waiting on a response. It's like a shopping list. I want this, this, this. Thank you very much. And we can ask God for things in prayer, but it's so much more than that. And I believe the main thing is that God wants a friendship or a relationship with you. Imagine you've been down to BB, you've had a great night, and you say to your parents, David Cleland is my best friend at BB. He's cool, I get on well with him, and we're great friends. They then ask you, well, what did you talk about? Well, actually, I didn't talk to him all night, apart from asking him to do loads of things for me. That's not much of a friendship. Jesus offers to be our friend, and we should want to talk to him and also want to listen to him for what he has to say to us. And we're told in this passage to devote or give our all to prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it actually says to pray continually. We're told to be watchful or switched on when we pray. And we can also use prayer to thank God for all the things he's given us, as it says in verse 2, to praise God for his creation, to confess our sins, and very importantly, to pray for others, as it says in verses 3 and 4. We'll come back to that a bit later. So how can you apply this verse to sport? One thing that I do before each hockey training session or match is to say a short prayer to commit that time to God. I pray something like, God, I thank you for the opportunity to play hockey. Please help me to use the gifts you have given me tonight, but most importantly, help me to be a witness and a light for you in all I do. A simple prayer, but it reminds me who I'm playing for. And getting into the habit of praying before and after sport, regardless of the result, is definitely recommended. And the other thing we can do is to pray for our teammates. People have lots going on in their lives, and many people who play sport with you aren't actually Christians. So devote yourselves to praying for them. If you're a parent, a grandparent, a supporter, pray for our sports people. It's not easy to be a Christian in sport, so praying is key. Secondly then, looking at verse 5, talking about play. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. As Christians, we are to be wise. What we do and what we say must be consistent in order to clearly present the message of Jesus. How you play sport on the pitch matters, and how you act off the pitch matters as well. As Christians, you'll be judged more strictly than others. People will be looking at how you speak to referees, how you speak to your teammates, how you react when you're injured or on the bench or whenever you're not playing well, and also what you do off the pitch. In Christians in sport, they have the motto, AO1, and that stands for Audience of One. And that means when you play sport, you remind yourself that God is the only person who matters as you play your sport as worship to Him. Being competitive and giving your all is good. Winning is great. But the best way we can play is remembering that Jesus is the most important thing in all we do, and be playing in a way that reflects that. Then finally in play, make the most of every opportunity. It's easy to think someone else will do it. Someone else will share the message, or you'll get another chance. Nothing in life is certain. We don't know when our last chance will be. So be different, be a light, and take every opportunity that God opens up for you. So pray, then play, and finally say. Verse 6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Praying is important, and playing for God's glory is important. And often the result of doing these two is that God opens up opportunities for us to share the good news of the gospel with people. In verses 3 and 4 it says, pray that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, and pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. By praying and playing well, people often notice a difference in us and ask us questions and want to know, why does he act or speak like that? Why does he do this? But we have to then use words to communicate our message. Romans 10 verses 13 to 14 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? We have the best news ever to share. Why would we not share it? Imagine you had the cure for cancer and you didn't share it with others. You would be mad and others would be mad with you. Yet as Christians, we have the cure for death in eternal life with Jesus, and yet we're often scared to share it. It is our job to share the good news, to plant the seed, and it is then God who waters it, who works and moves in people's lives to see it grow into a faith in Him. Then final three parts of this verse. Let your conversations be always full of grace. Don't shove it down people's throats. You can't force people to believe. You plant the seed, God makes it grow. And then seasoned with salt. Salt was used as a preservative and a currency and to add flavour. We're to preserve the message of Christ and help it reach as many people as possible. Our message is valuable, and our words should add flavour to a conversation by being uplifting, helpful, and positive. And then finally, we have the good news of Jesus, and we should be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks, but we are to do it with a humble and gracious attitude. So we've looked at pray, play, and say. I just want to quickly share two examples of how God has used me through sport, and then how you can apply these stories to your lives. The captain of our hockey team is a guy called James. And nearly 5 years ago, James was diagnosed with stage 4 testicular cancer that had spread to other parts of his body. And the doctors at that stage told him he needed to undergo intensive chemotherapy. So as he was preparing to do that, at the same time I was studying to become a doctor. And as part of that, we do a 2-week placement in cancer studies. My very first day on the ward that I was placed on was the exact day that James, my hockey captain, started chemotherapy on that exact ward. God placed me exactly where I needed to be at the exact time I needed to be there for his good and for his glory. And I was able to sit there with James, talk him through what was about to happen, and support him as he started out on that difficult journey. And since then, James has made a full recovery. He is cancer-free, and actually he was captain last year whenever we won all those trophies. God works in incredible, miraculous ways. You're all placed exactly where God has placed you, and you're meant to be there for the reason he has placed you there, for his good and for his glory. God can use any situation, even when you don't understand it. Maybe you're injured, you're on the bench, you're not playing well. God can use you there. Maybe you're standing at the side of a freezing cold pitch, haven't done your 10th taxi lift of the week. God can use you there. Maybe it's speaking to another supporter, praying for the team. God has placed you where he wants you to be, so make the most of every opportunity. The second story is about another guy on our team. He used to play on our team, this guy called Paul. If anyone's heard me speak before, I use this quite a lot, so I'm sorry if you've heard it before. He's not a Christian, but at one of the awards nights, about 6 or 7 years ago, he said something to me that's stuck with me since. He said, as humans, we're never satisfied. He said that whenever he was young, he thought if he could play for Ulster Hockey, he'd be happy. He did well, got picked for Ulster Hockey. He said, if I could just play for Ireland, then I'd be happy. He gets picked for Ireland, does really well, gets lots of caps. Ireland have a chance of qualifying for the Olympics in 2016. Paul says, if I could play in the Olympics, then I'd be happy. He does well, he gets picked for the Olympics team. He goes to the Rio Olympics with Ireland. And he said, if I could win one game at the Olympics, then I'd be happy. Ireland win a game. He said, if I get out of the group stage, then I'd be happy. Ireland, unfortunately, don't qualify out of the group stage. And he said that the whole Olympic experience passed him by, and he didn't enjoy it. The pinnacle of sport, but he wanted more, and we often want more. The only thing that truly satisfies is Jesus. All the sporting achievements don't come close. We all have that Jesus-shaped hole in our lives. We can try to fill it with sport. We can try to fill it with money, jobs, families, which are all fine by themselves, but they don't take the place of Jesus. They just don't satisfy. If you haven't given your life to him today, why not? This is the best news. This is the greatest prize. Take hold of it now before it's too late. Amen.
Daniel, thank you so much for that message. Folks, it's been a joy to have you today. We're going to sing our final song, which is the BB hymn, Will Your Anchor Hold. Could I ask, at the end of that song, you remain standing just for the benediction. Then if you let the boys go out first, and I'm sure then parents will want to go out and see them. But do then come around to our hall, join us for refreshments. For the first time in over a year, folks, because the builder's compound is gone, you can get through our car park the short way to the hall. And you're very welcome then to come and to have a look around the new facilities in the Link and the Minor Hall as well. Don't try to use the lift, folks. It's out of action today. So if you're going upstairs, just use the stairs. Don't try to use the lift today. But let's stand, let's sing together, Will Your Anchor Hold. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.